Hi, and welcome to Answers News for January 17th, 2022. We got all sorts of news.
Yeah, we do.
This year's
good
already
news, bad news.
Yeah, that's true. There's always good news because there's always the gospel. But then when you look at the world around, there's a lot of bad news too.
Oh, right. A couple of things right off the start here. Explore Days and Explore Junior. We have a lot of these science education programs. You can find out more on creationmuseum.org/explore, or just go to creationmuseum.org. You should be able to find it.
But do it soon because they fill up.
These do fill up quickly.
That's right.
So we have different age groups, 11 to 18, and then the junior is from 5 to 10. And these, you know, some of my kids have been to some of these. And they absolutely love them. So they're wonderful.
So is that
programs.
The actual age, or is that what you identify as age?
Tim, if you really want to go,
I'm probably qualified for either one of those.
But no, that's really good. We also have Explore Fossil Hunt, and this is kind of neat.
Cool. This looks cool.
You know, over the years, you know, we've worked with different geologists to go out and do some fossil hunts, and there's different places you can do this sort of thing. So this is kind of an exciting one. This is going to occur on April 9th, 2022. Again, that's April 9th, 2022. You can find out more at creationmuseum.org/fossil hunt. So you can follow that link and find out about that Explore Fossil Hunt. Really neat.
Yeah.
So that's kind of exciting. But we have an audience here today. Let's hear you guys. Let's hoot and holler.
Millions of them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're down here at the Ark Encounter is where we're transmitting. And it's kind of exciting being down here at the Ark. It's actually wonderful to be down here. You know, I'm usually stationed at the Creation Museum, so it's nice to be able to go back and forth.
Yeah, and I'm usually at the design studio.
Yeah.
And it was weird when we opened the Ark.
They let you out.
Once in a while, they let me out of my cage. No. I mean, I used to come to the Ark all the time when we were building it. Yeah. We were installing the exhibits and everything because I got to be part of that. And then when we first opened, I was here, you know, a couple times a week, and then it started to be like once every couple of weeks, then once a month. And now I like coming down here at least.
You know, January and February are the low months.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anybody ever wants to come to the Creation Museum or the Ark Encounter, they want the place themselves, plenty of time to read, watch the videos. This is really the time to be here. Mm-hmm. Of course, gardens and things like that, it's cold outside. So
you don't get any flowers and everything.
That's right. Yeah. You take your picture in front of what will be flowers in summertime.
That's right.
But no, they really are a great time. Some people really enjoy that, actually, coming to the museum and the Ark to be able to just take their time, take their kids through it as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So today we have Tim Chafee, we have Rob Webb again, and we have Bodie Hodge, that's me. And we're going to be your host today for Answers News. So you guys ready to jump into some articles?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do this.
Go for launch.
Yeah, this first
this one.
Rocket scientist here. Live science. Thousands of starlings form a bent spoon swarm over Israel. Mm-hmm. So explain to us, Tim, what are starlings? Are they your favorite bird?
Favorite bird
they
of all
are
time is Tim's right here.
The best example of the curse. I hate these things. No, I love birds. They do amazing things. These things, when they're in flight, they are so fun to watch. They're so cool how they...
Especially when they swarm.
Yeah, you get thousands, tens of thousands just doing all these unique maneuvers, and it's really fun to watch until they go over your car.
Yep. And turn your car white.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I think they're bioengineered by car wash people that just to keep their business going.
Yeah. Any hunters out there? I mean, just go at it.
Yeah, in Kentucky, if you have a hunting license, I looked it up, no bag limit.
Yep.
Any time of the year, starlings are.
Well, you know, there's an interesting history. There were no starlings in North America. Then you go back about 100 years ago or so, and a group of people let loose about 60 of them in New York City because, if I remember right, it was because of Shakespeare's plays. A lot of the birds that are mentioned in there are also over here in North America, but the starlings weren't. So they decided, hey, let's release some starlings. Took about 100 years, but they really have covered the North America. There's massive numbers of them, and we see these swarms here.
I think these things are worse than the rabbits in Australia that kind of took. I think the starlings in America are worse.
Yeah, this is called murmuration. Is what you know, when they kind of swarm together and they make different shapes. And you know, this particular spoon. This is a snapshot of a portion of this murmuration.
The video is cool.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. I don't know if you guys ever seen like those drone light shows where the drones kind of go up and they have the different lights. They're doing different characters and formations. It's kind of like that, and it's really cool. It kind of starts off in a different shape, but then it kind of morphs into a different one, and it eventually goes into like these really cool spoon looking shapes like this.
It kind of looked like a spoon, then it kind of bent
to look like a bent spoon afterwards. And
they talk about that How do these birds do that kind of thing?
You know, without running into each other.
Right, yeah. And they kind of just focus. I think they said like 5 to 7 around
them. Yeah, it's really impressive.
And so they all just kind of mimic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's fascinating. We'll definitely say that. Yep. No doubt about that. You know, a lot of different birds will swarm and flock and move in these ways. But you know, I just saw some of these swarms not too long ago.
I saw some on the way down. Kentucky. They weren't as big as this, but I saw some on the way down.
Yeah. Yeah. Really neat stuff. So. All right, next one here. John MacArthur to pastors. Fight government claim that biblical moral standards are a myth. This comes from WorldNet Daily. And John MacArthur, you know, he's been involved in all sorts of battles himself.
Yeah.
And here he is saying, hey, we got to stand up for biblical truth.
Yeah, and he's saying January 16th is the day here.
And this is in response to the new law in Canada that labels biblical morality on relationship, sexual relationship between man and woman.
And we've commented they on
call
that before.
And we've talked about that law when it was going through their different chambers and then when it was passed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they basically say biblical standard is a myth and you got to embrace all these other ones. And John MacArthur is encouraging the pastors in the U.S. and Canada to take this coming Sunday to speak out against it.
In fact, so I would
actually
like to see...
Yesterday. Yep. And it's one thing... You might think it's one thing for an American pastor who maybe doesn't have to fear for imprisonment or anything like that to encourage people in Canada to do that. But he did stand up against the state government in California, you know, during the whole lockdown idea. He's practiced what he preached when it comes to this.
And he hit the mark here, too.
You look at 1 Peter 5, verse 8, you know, has a very popular passage talking about, you know, Satan prowls around, you know, like a roaring lion, so he knew he was going to devour. But the very next verse, verse 9 says, resist him firmly, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Mm-hmm. We need to remember, it's not just happening to us or people in different parts of the world that are undergoing some of these same sufferings. Mm-hmm. Satan's trying to devour them. And you know, in Canada, we've been seeing a lot of attacks on the church, especially these last few years. I'm actually surprised they haven't been put on, you know, some of those lists, you know, by Voice of the Martyrs and some of them too, because Canada really needs some prayer.
Yeah.
But
our nation as well, we need to be, this is another reason we need to be praying for our nation, because don't think this isn't going to be happening. It's already happening in some of the states here in the U.S.
And you know what's sad is too many times people say, well, you Christians, you think you're facing persecution here. Look what's happened to the Christians in China or Saudi Arabia. Yeah, that's true. That's happened. But that doesn't mean we sit back and let it come here when we can be a voice for reason, a voice for freedom, really a voice to share the gospel. Think of how God has allowed the Christians in the United States to send missionaries all over the globe, not in colonialism as the modern people would have you believe, but to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And I think MacArthur hit the mark here completely when he says here in this article, he says, our calling as gospel ministers is to preach the truth, confront sin, and call all men to repentance and obedience to the gospel, the good news that achieves soul conversion and saves sinners from eternal wrath. And really, that sums it up right there.
And for those who don't know, what's going on in Canada is they have anti-conversion laws.
Therapy.
Like, you know, for example, if a Christian were to go out and say, hey, you know, I want to encourage you to, you know, get back to what the Bible says about marriage and sexuality, guess what? That can be seen as illegal. You can serve jail time.
Or if a teenage girl came to a therapist and said, you know, I'm having these feelings that maybe I should be a guy and I want to take hormones, and the therapist, but then the girl says, but I don't want to, can you help me? The therapist is not allowed to counsel them against that. Mm-hmm. That's against the law.
In other words, they can convert one way, away from Christianity, but they're not allowed to convert toward Christianity.
You got the double standard going on there.
They do practice conversion therapy. In fact, it's government endorsed.
Right.
But they...
It's
very arbitrary, it's very subjective in terms of who they consider hate speech, and if basically if you're not aligning with their agenda... They're preaching tolerance, but really it's very intolerance. It's very intolerant when you think about it.
Yeah, the article here says, the decision report, explain the law, C4, amends the Canadian Criminal Code to include anything deemed conversion therapy. It's interesting that's called C4 because it sounds like something's going to blow
gonna
up,
explode.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing. It's really an attack on Christianity, right. and it's an open attack.
This is a heartbreaking thing going on in our culture right now with so many young girls who are falling into this, the transgender thing, which has come up over and over again. We've covered, and it is heartbreaking, but it's not. That is not ultimately the problem. The root of the problem is sin, and it continues to go back to that.
Right,
so
exactly.
The gospel is the solution to all of these things, and we're to love these people and show them the love of Christ, not to rail at them all day long or anything.
And we want to tell the truth. We want to see people come unto repentance and return to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you nailed it. It's a lot of the teens in particular that have been drilled with this, whether it's through their educational system, through secular museums and secular media.
And peer pressure.
As early as kindergarten, first graders, you're seeing that kind of attack happening on our kids today.
Right, and you know, we've actually got a couple of books here, Answers of Books for Teens, Volume 1 and 2, and these are great books, you know, easy to read for the teens, and it really dives into a lot of the issues that kids are being drilled with, whether it's the secular humanism, you know, for example, the millions of years, and evolution, and Big Bang. But even things like dinosaurs.
Right.
We even have a chapter in there, what does the Bible say about sexuality? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a gigantic chapter, but I found a lot of kids, they want to know what the Bible says, but a lot of people are afraid to talk to them about it.
Yeah.
But these are great resources, Answers Books for Teens 1 and 2, to really deal with
those. They're not going to learn from their families and from their pastors. They're going to learn from YouTube and from teachers who don't have their best interest in mind.
That's why as Christians, we can't be afraid to speak the truth, because that's really the most loving thing that we can do.
That's right.
To anyone.
Yep, really is. All right, let's move to the next one here. This comes from the National Post. Tara Henley, Why I Quit the CBC.
Canada again.
Yeah,
More bad news in Canada.
Right. Yeah, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, that's CBC. Why she left that? This is actually an interesting read because... Mm-hmm. It's not like she's conservative. It's not like she's a Bible-believing,
biblical Christian. 18 months ago, she was the most liberal person in the newsroom.
And
now she's the most conservative. She didn't change her politics at all.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody else shifted
left. That's how far things are moving over in one direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things she's frustrated about is that it's no longer dealing with good journalism, but it's actually more like propaganda, if I can put it in layman's terms.
It's more like propaganda. It is propaganda.
And essentially what they're trying to bank everything on is this woke worldview. It's wokeism. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but wokeism is something that's infecting everything, our entire culture today, talking about, you know, being awoke to your oppressor, your oppressed status and intersectionality, whether you're white, you're male, you're evangelical, you have all these different points and hits against you. So they're trying to basically take that and say, this is the agenda, this is the secret knowledge, kind of a form of Gnosticism, really, that they're trying to push onto the culture today. And if you're not following that, then you're seen basically as a bigot or whatever else they want to say.
By definition, the three of us would be, because we can't speak to any of these things because we have white privilege, we have male privilege, we have all of those things. So we can't speak to any of these issues.
So she basically acknowledges, wokeism is wrong, wokeism is evil, it's infecting everything. But the question is why? Why is it wrong? Why is this wokeism wrong? Because she's coming at it from an unbiblical worldview. But really, when we look back to the Bible, we can have an answer for why those things are wrong.
Right.
Why those things are evil.
It's related to what we call the social justice movement, where they're not really interested in justice. It's really interested in division. It's not interested in equal treatment. It's equal outcomes.
It's actually promoting racism.
Right. It is promoting
I mean, we deal with this all the time at the ministry, dealing with the fact that there's one race, the human race. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
But we've been conditioned to look at people different ways. You know, people have been conditioned to look at my skin tone, for example, or my eye shape, and they want to categorize me in a certain way. And people do that left, right, and center. We're taught to do that. But that's dead wrong.
Human being.
By the way, is
that's
white.
That's exactly right.
We're not white. This is white.
And we do sell a couple of books that deal with this. We've got Christianity Wokeism is by Owen Strand, and then we've got Fault Lines by Bodie Bauckham.
It's a great one. Yep. It's a great resource.
And even in these Answers Books for Teens, we're talking about how there's one race.
Exactly.
And, so we have to deal with that. You know, as I look at this, I also think of something else, though. Because, you know, when I think of Tara here, she was pretty far left. You know, and even though she now is seen as on the right side,
that's what she says.
Of where
she says,
they're
I used
at
to
now.
Be one of the furthest to the left in any newsroom. This is
yeah.
what she used to say.
And yet, I want people to realize she got what she asked for.
Yeah. yeah.
This is the result
they
of every
kept pushing for that.
Here.
Well, now it kept going. Well, now all of a sudden she's like, hold on, let's pull the reins back. Let's not go that far. Mm-hmm. No, that's what you've been asking for the mm-hmm. whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, we need to remember that, hey, ideas have consequences.
Worldviews have consequences, yeah.
And that's exactly
and if it's
we
not grounded in the Word of God, then it's not yeah. grounded in truth.
Yeah. It's going to be fallacious. It's going to be inconsistent. Yeah. It's basically that's what we're seeing today.
Yeah.
Well,
it even says in here that they're trying to shut down critical thinking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We know as soon as you shut down critical thinking, you're not allowed to think critically on a subject, think logically about a subject. Of course you're going to fall into all sorts of traps.
Which these yeah, movements, exactly. wokeism, says that you're not allowed to critique. Yeah. I'm not allowed to yeah. because I'm a privileged position. Yeah. If I were to critique it, I am...
Regardless of your character, it's all about your appearance. Mm-hmm. Really
right, and even if I try to do it, then I'm being a racist or I'm being mm-hmm. a sexist or whatever it is because I'm not in that
yeah.
position.
And as Christians, we need to stay far clear away from this. This is a very
exactly.
anti-biblical, very
yeah.
wicked worldview.
It's very dangerous.
And it's even creeping into the church today, and so that's why we need to...
Taking over a lot of churches,
yeah.
more than just creeping.
Yeah. That's why we need to
part
speak
of it is because they recognize there's something wrong, and Christians recognize there's something. Yeah, there are mm-hmm. certain. Sometimes in our culture, there are certain inequalities. The solution is not jump on board with this new movement.
Yeah,
right.
The solution is look at what the Bible has to say about justice
right.
and how we're supposed to love one another, love your enemy, mm-hmm. pray for those who persecute you.
Right.
I mean, that's mm-hmm. going back to the Word of God is the solution, yeah. not jumping on.
True justice can only be found in the biblical worldview.
Right.
Yep. All right, this next one comes from Live Science. Truly remarkable. Fossils are rare evidence of ancient shark-on-shark attacks. Boy, that sounds like a headline from Shark Week, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
But yeah, they found a pretty fascinating fossil, actually, mm-hmm. here, mm-hmm. of a shark that had bit into another shark, you know, and you see the evidence of that. And what's interesting is even this fossil, some of the cartilage... Which sharks are largely cartilage.
Yeah, that's why they don't preserve really. Usually
right,
you just
teeth.
Find like the jaws, the teeth.
Yeah,
yeah
yep,
that's
what
it.
They find. Mm-hmm. So they actually found some of the cartilage that was preserved, which goes to show this was an exceptional fossil formation. Something unique had to happen. This had to be rapid burial.
So it's catastrophe.
They even say that in the article. They say it's an exceptional circumstance for this predatory interaction to preserve mm-hmm. for millions of years. The dumb luck,
nope,
right?
Millions
and,
of years.
And just millions of years.
They just
and,
had to throw that
and
in.
And they even said to, and then to be recovered by someone who recognizes its significance. Mm-hmm. Again, just pointing to another biblical worldview that what we're looking at right here is flood. This is just a rapid burial of the flood that mm-hmm. happened, and that's something we would expect.
Right.
And also, God gave us those reliable senses so we can actually see that, and we can recognize its significance like it's talking about here in the paper. But regardless, I mean, there's a lot of cool facts in here, but there's also a lot of storytelling. So anytime you look at an article like this, you got to separate the fact from the fiction, from the storytelling that's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah, now in this one, it's not that they just found teeth next to the vertebra or anything.
Right.
It was like they found the bite marks in there and signs
yeah,
of healing. So it was something that had happened during that shark's lifetime.
And they even said there was pointy shark teeth sticking out of them as well. So, I mean, that's... It's pretty awesome observation here, but then they go right after that to say the discoveries show that millions of years ago, ancient sharks gobbled up fellow sharks in what is the U.S. East Coast, and they've been preying on each other for millions of years. And
I know if Avery's watching, she'd want me to mention baby shark here right now. That's for you, Avery.
I still have that song stuck in my head.
Well, you know, they have several examples of shark carnivory. On each other. One of them goes all the way back to rock that was in the Devonian level.
Yeah.
That's named for Devonshire, England. That's where that name comes from.
So then the 400 millions according to their timeline.
Right.
419.2 to 358.9.
Right. Mm. And in that case, that was one that had eaten another one. You saw it in the stomach contents there. You know, so I mean, we do find examples of this sort of thing. Big picture, though, this is after the fall. After Adam and Eve sinned against God, that's when we start seeing animals, their aggressions with each other. That's the first time they could have become meat eaters, because originally everything was vegetarian.
Yeah.
According to Genesis 1:29-30, mankind was vegetarian, all the animals were vegetarian. So it wasn't until after Adam and Eve sinned that we start to see that carnivory. We saw all flesh had corrupted itself by the time of the
mm-hmm.
flood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a number of these types of fossils are from the flood. That Devonian rock, for example, is from the flood of Noah's day, which perfect conditions to
yeah,
make
not,
fossils.
Not every fossil is from Noah's flood. There's
correct.
Other catastrophes and everything
right.
that can
right.
do that. But that's the point, is it's catastrophic. Yeah. It's not something that's slow and gradual. Right. It dies and sits on the
work.
Bottom. Yeah. That's not how fossils form.
Rapid burial. But yep. like Bodhi was saying, I mean, it should remind us of the fall and why we need the new heavens and the new earth and why we need a Savior to save us from our sin.
All right. This next article is kind of long, actually, because it's got a lot of little pieces in it. But,
they knew Tim was right. on, so they had to put this one on.
Biblical Archaeology Society. 2021's top 10 biblical archaeology stories.
How could there be something like this, Bodhi? How could you have top 10 biblical archaeology things when we know the Bible's just made up and there's no way that you'd have science that would come along and corroborate everything we read in Scripture? Oh, yeah, we find that in archaeology all the time. And so let's just highlight a few of these. The first one on here, we commented on this one when it became news last year. There were some scrolls that were found, and part of them of Zechariah and Nahum. In the what's called the Cave of Horrors, near the Dead Sea, not part of the Qumran community where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, but these are other ones about 20 miles south of there in Nahal Hever. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting. This is from like the second century.
First to second century.
Second century during the Bar Kokhba Rebellion, 132 to 135 AD. So it seems like people were hiding out from the Romans who were coming through and wiping out the Jews and scattering them. That's when they were kicked out of their land. And it seems like they were hiding out in this cave with these documents and parts of Scripture. And they call it Cave of Horrors because I think they found 60 skeletons or so in there. So that one, it's interesting, just another find that corroborates these things. By the way, the text matches. Mm-hmm. I remember when when we did the article, the article said, well, it doesn't line up really well with the text. And I went through and did a comparison. It lined up perfectly with the text.
Yeah.
So we got another one here.
Shows the validity, just another confirmation that what we're actually reading in our scriptures today with our Bible is accurate. I mean, it's because it's God's word.
And we see that consistently with the ancient manuscripts and the Dead Sea Scrolls and so forth. So
Yeah, there's times where you'll get little variants or something like that. Mm-hmm. But let's there's 10. We're not going to cover all 10. Let's jump to the next one after that.
I know, as badly as you want to.
Yeah, I know, I would love to. So, Bodhi, if you want to jump to the next one.
I did. King David, did you do that one? Or
the
not?
One after Gideon. Gideon.
Okay, we can move on to that one.
That one, yeah. So, archaeological evidence of Gideon.
Although the last one was really cool.
It was pretty cool, yeah.
It was a
cool because they say that King David's just mythical. He's made up till he found the Tel Dan Stela and the Misha Stela.
Right, that was back in 1993. Yeah. Now they found some more stuff. So,
But this one, we reported on this one last year as well. They find this little scrap, this inscription that says Jerubbaal, which is the name that Gideon was called. He let Baal contend. So after Gideon tears down this altar to Baal, they started calling him this, and then they find this fragment from the place, the area that Gideon was from, and the time period that Gideon lived. Who else is going to have that name?
Yeah.
And so that might be something that's related
to
what we read.
You know, if you're
going to
have children, that might be a good name.
I don't think most people want Baal in the name of their child. Although
you don't hear that nowadays.
Well, I think
Saul
had.
Do you want to go play with this Baal?
Ish-Baal was one of the names. So that was something that was named.
Yeah.
Because it meant it was the Canaanite word for Lord, I believe.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
And then skip down to, let's go to the missing wall of biblical Jerusalem. I mean, there's a lot of interesting ones.
So
I wish we could talk about
all
of these.
A lot of these are great.
This one's awesome. Really cool. So,
how could you miss a wall?
Because they're kind of down in the ground crumbled. Okay. But what's interesting about this, it shows that during the time of Hezekiah, Jerusalem was fortified, that it was built up because they were being invaded by the Assyrians, and Sennacherib, their forces surrounded Jerusalem at that time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, oh, the Bible's just made all that up. Well, how about when you look at the Assyrian records and they find the Taylor Prism, you find what's called Sennacherib's Prism, where they have this inscription, and we've got a picture of this at the Creation Museum, where he talks about how he destroyed all these cities of Judah, and then he had Hezekiah shut up like a bird in Jerusalem. He never talks about conquering Jerusalem. Why? Because he didn't.
Right.
This is where the angel of the Lord went out and killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night, and the Bible records in three different places. So you have this archaeology and even a godless nation recording this event. Yeah. Now, they don't tell every detail, but it lines up perfectly with Scripture, and here's another thing that lines up with that.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
All right, and let's go to the very last one.
The bonus one.
Yeah, the bonus one. So this is interesting. They recently found more this evidence for for Roman style crucifixion in England, in Britain, and they found a spike through the heel bone. Now I know most of the time you see the crucifixion depicted, you've got the spike going through the front of the foot, and maybe both feet together, and one spike going through. And maybe they did it that way. In fact, I think they probably did it all sorts of ways.
Yeah, they
I think
had
they
a lot
probably
of,
experimented.
Lot of
forms. Right. But the archaeological evidence that we've found so far, two of them like this, where it's going through the heel bone on the side, so it seems like maybe they straddled the upright beam, and one nail on this side, one on this side, through the heel bone. And there's also a piece of graffiti that's been found where the character was drawn that way.
Which I heard it's the heel bone, right? Because it has the most of the nerves, right? And that was considered like one of the most painful ways of putting the spike there.
It could be. It also bring new meaning to bruise your heel, right?
Yeah.
Could.
While crushing the head, going back to Genesis 3:15.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility. We have an article on our website called Depicting the Crucifixion. When we show this at the Creation Museum, we show it that way. We don't know if that's exactly how Jesus was crucified, but that's consistent with the best archaeological evidence that we have, so we drew it that way.
Yep. Just more evidence right there.
Yep, I guess they nailed it.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, I've been known for this from time to talk.
Yeah.
All right. But you guys can find out more about this at Biblical Archaeology Society. And I know we skipped over some really cool ones, but those are really good ones to look
at. But obviously, just great confirmation that the Bible, what you're reading today, is true and accurate.
Yeah, it's nice confirmation.
And awesome when it comes to crucifixion, the Bible predicted or prophesied crucifixion 1,000 years before it happened, 300 years before it was invented. Read Psalm 22.
Psalm 22.
Yep. All right, this next one comes from LifeSite. Jeopardy's all-time female champ. What is a woman who is actually a man?
Can we go back to the archaeology article, please?
Oh, audience, we're in a messed up culture, aren't we? Uh-huh. Yeah.
So
we can
this individual who goes by the name Amy Schneider is male and identifies as female. Very intelligent person. My parents loved Jeopardy. When I was back home over Christmas break, I got to watch Jeopardy with them. They love watching it. And so I got to watch this person who is very, very bright and obviously has won 30 times in a row now. You don't win Jeopardy 30 times in a row unless you know a lot of stuff. Sometimes it's useless stuff, but a lot of stuff. Yeah. But it's just another one of these things in the culture. If you look at women's athletics and all sorts of where the top female and all these are now men, biological men.
Yeah, it's
sad to say. That Penn State swimmer, and it goes all sorts of ones in track and field. It goes on and on and on.
Yeah the news headlines are all over the place on it.
Right.
And you would think that what we've heard in our culture for so long, in the last 20, 30 years, how it's so wrong to discriminate against girls. What's happening with this transgender movement is girls are being eliminated or erased, and they don't get to compete anymore.
And a lot
they're losing scholarships. Why would they?
Here's a good question to ask. Can people deceive themselves?
Yes.
Yes. Yep. And now, what makes it even more interesting then is, should Christians go along with this deception? No, we need to be true. Yeah. We need to stand back, acknowledge this for what it really is. And you know what? People have sinful minds. So if you unpack Romans chapter 1, go back and read Romans chapter 1 from start to finish.
Right.
It even bleeds into Romans chapter 2 if you want to continue.
But it describes a lot of these behaviors, and it even ends by talking about how those people who know these things are wrong, not only they see this and they agree, they affirm it, they also promote it. They encourage it.
Right.
And that's what we're seeing in our culture. It's not just a recognition or, hey, you got to accept this. It's now encouraging this and elevating
it. But like
you
were saying, it comes back to Romans chapter 1. This is what happens when you rebel against God. It says in Romans 1:28, they did not see the fit to acknowledge God, so God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. And that's what we're seeing today.
Right.
We're seeing a debased mind. Yeah, that's basically left is right, up is down is up, and it
reminds you of Isaiah 5:20.
Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And that's exactly what we're seeing today. And we have to go back to a biblical worldview. It's God that defines gender. It's God that declared it from the beginning, male and female, and he doesn't make mistakes. No matter what the culture, what anyone tries to deceive these people with.
Right, and the Bible's been consistent with this. You go back to Deuteronomy 22:5, a man's not to dress like the woman, the woman's not supposed to dress like the man, particularly with the cloak and so forth.
Right, exactly.
And again, the solution is not to, be angry and and shout awful things at this person, right, but to show the love of Christ and declare the gospel.
And that's the most
message.
Loving thing that we can, right, do is we, yeah, can point them to Christ, because ultimately that's what they need. They need a heart transformation. Right. Their heart of stone being transformed into a heart of flesh, and that's what we need to pray for.
That's the case for everyone. Right. It's not just people who are going through this.
And here's a
issue.
Person that no doubt is brilliant.
Yep.
They're extremely brilliant, but when it comes to the issue of gender and male and female, it's like logic went out the window.
Yeah.
We see a lot of these issues. I want to encourage people to be praying for this person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, I like to see them come to the knowledge of the truth, repent,
yes,
and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Amen to that.
All right. This next one comes from AP. Comments, renewed debate over adoption as abortion alternative.
Yeah, this one gave me a headache.
It's sad to...
Yeah.
It's a sad issue when... There are people who encourage young, just women in general who are pregnant to, you shouldn't consider giving your child for adoption. You need to abort.
Yeah, essentially the whole article is trying to say that adoption is not an alternative to abortion, because of, they keep saying things like there's a powerful bond between the mother and the child that's developing. Well, of course there is. That's how God designed it, because in Psalm 127, God says all children are blessings from the Lord. They're like a heritage. They're like arrows in the hands of a warrior. So, of course, from the moment of fertilization, that child is precious, that child is made in the image of God, and that mother has that connection right away.
Right. So she's the mother from that moment.
It's exactly, interesting to me, the person who's talking about that bond, your body's like bond, and then, curse, bad word, but
right.
The assistant professor in justice studies, but is somebody who works in assisting women in childbirth and women seeking abortions. Where's the justice for that child that you're encouraging somebody to abort? Right. Where's the justice for the most innocent of any life?
Right. Yeah.
And you're saying kill that child.
And you realize the number of people who want to adopt.
Right.
They're struggling to get children. They're they're waiting years and
there's
years
and years.
There's
a huge disproportion right now.
My daughter and her husband have been looking for about 3.5 years, and just every time they think something's there, it falls through, and they've been they've been trying desperately for a long time, and it just hasn't come to fruition. We trust that the Lord will do that at the right time.
And you have to watch out for a lot of the euphemisms in these kind of articles too, because they'll say stuff like carry an unattended pregnancy to term, but really that's a child that's not simply ending a pregnancy like they try to say. And they'll even try to say things like, it's a misleading narrative that adoption can negate the needs for abortion. It's ridiculous to say it's no problem to eliminate abortion. So they're trying to say it's better than to just murder the child. And that's what it is. It's murder. This is child sacrifice at its simplest. It's child sacrifice to the God of self.
To make your life better. Just
the
like
God
what
of
the
comfort.
Pagan Jews did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To the God of convenience, where we live in a culture today that's trying to say the health, the wealth, the happiness of that mother is more important than the life of that child, and that's what they're trying to push.
And what they'll always do is play on the heartstrings or any emotion. Like, what are you saying? Like, in the case of a young girl who's raped and gets pregnant through that, you're saying that she should be forced to carry that child. And it's like, okay, let's set that to the side for a moment. What about the 99.9% of other pregnancies?
Right.
So is it okay to end abortion in those cases?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you can't do that. Well, why not? Your argument was this 0.1% of cases.
Yeah. And because if you push them on it, they really don't believe that anyways. Because if you were to ask that person advocating for that position, okay, should it only be for rape or incest? They would say, well, no, of course not.
Right.
It should be a freedom of choice. But really, it's no choice. This is murder at its
end. And the baby's not getting the choice.
Exactly.
Sure isn't.
Yep.
You know, I'm reminded of Galatians 4:5, you know, where Christians are redeemed unto adoption by God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it goes to show the beauty in adoption. You know, God knew that man was going to fall, and God had a plan in place to redeem us.
Yeah.
And here we are, adopted sons of God. Yeah. You know, it's just sons and daughters.
It's all throughout the Bible. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, adoption's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing.
It's a wonderful alternative.
And it doesn't mean that it doesn't come with challenges.
Correct.
Raising kids comes with challenges. And raising a kid who has automatically had this
bond
with...
We're still raising Tim here. I mean...
But raising a child who had this bond with another mother, you know, their birth mother, and now you're trying... There are difficulties there, but it doesn't mean that you can't do that. It doesn't mean that some people haven't done that in a great way. It doesn't mean that God can't honor that and that... Mm-hmm. You know what? That's a great alternative to murdering the child.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you were saying, that person, that mother is a mother, that is a parent from the moment of fertilization.
All right. Well, we are out of time, but what I would like to do is at least recommend an incredible book, actually, on archaeology. You know, we talked about some of those finds, and those are cool things, you know, that were finds from last year. But this is a book by Clive Anderson and Brian Edwards. And Brian's a pastor over in the UK, and he oftentimes tours people through the British Museum, which has an incredible number of archaeological things, great things that are phenomenal confirmations of Scripture. Absolutely amazing and beautiful book as you go through it.
They don't portray it that way in the British Museum.
But in the book they do. But when you have Brian touring you through it, right, but the book is really, it's called Evidence for the Bible. Once again, it's called Evidence for the Bible. We're going to pin that
great
in the link.
Great images in there.
But a wonderful book. Mm-hmm. But we are out of time. So thank you guys for joining us on Answers News. God bless you, and hope you have a great day.
God bless.